Last week was our family service, and we looked at Abraham, and we reminded of the fact that God had promised Abraham that one day that he would have a large family, and they would be, they would fill Canaan, be their land. But obviously we know that God had a greater purpose, that the family of Abraham would fill the whole earth. And, well, Joshua was part of that family, and we've come to the stage where we're starting to look at the book of Joshua, and Joshua has come to a place where he's going to lead the people of God. Moses is dead, this great leader, this leader who had such authority not in himself, but God had given him. And so Joshua, he was going to lead all these people into Israel. And often, I don't know if you ever seen these, I don't know what they're called, children police, is it? You know, you see sometimes of a morning, you see young children, and there's someone taking them to school. And you think, I would hate to do something like that. The thought that you've got about 20 young children and a couple of adults that take these children to school, or you see them going to the swimming baths and they've got all these children, and you think, they're not always well behaved either. Well, here's Joshua. He is going to lead a people of over a million into the promised land. A people who grumble and moan, even though they are faithful. And God has said, I want you to lead them and to take possession of the land. And it's not always easy. And you can feel, you can have this sense, I suppose, of a lack of confidence. And what I love about the Lord is this. He speaks to us where we are. And he speaks to Joshua. And he says to Joshua, listen, you are to have courage. There in verse 9 of chapter 1, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua, no matter where you are, no matter where you go, you need to know this. I will be with you. And that's an incredible thought. So here's Joshua, who, as we looked at last time, was a picture of the Lord Jesus, and he was leading the people of God into the promised land, and the people who were living in the promised land, they had an opportunity to turn, they had an opportunity to call upon the God of Israel, but they refused. It was a wicked land that they lived in. Things were happening there that you wouldn't even want to discuss. And God said, the time has come. You need to be judged. Now Joshua had to be careful in his preparation to judge the people of Canaan and to save his people. He had to give of himself to the word. He had to listen to what God had said. All too often people would do things out of their own imaginations, and God says, no, our imaginations are warped. Our imaginations are not what they should be. And you need to stick to the word of God, and you will find in life, as a Christian, you become a Christian, and you start reading the word of God, and there are issues at work that you're struggling with, or issues in the family, in the home, issues with your neighbour, and you don't know how to deal with them. And what do you do? Well, God has given us prayer. We come to God in prayer and we say, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this issue. Lord, there's sickness come upon my life. How do I deal with that? Lord, I have a wayward child. How do I deal with that? Well, we don't just pray. God has given us his word. Given us his word to guide us. And we should all have, we love the Lord Jesus today, as our Saviour, we should all have stories to tell of how God has spoken to us. So often, God will speak into our situation, and he will guide us and show us. And God was saying to Joshua, listen, you are to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Everything that you have learned, you take hold of, and I will bless you. Well, Joshua was first mentioned in Exodus chapter 17 when Moses appointed him to lead Israel in a battle against the Amalekites and Rephidim. There in Exodus 17 verse 9, he was one of the champions that would go and lead God's people. We then read that he was one of the spies. We learn this in Sunday school, don't we? Of the 12 spies that go into Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. There were 2 that they walked around the city of Jericho. They walked around Canaan and they saw the great grapes that were growing and they saw the vegetation and the crops. And that's what they saw, the blessing of God. They saw a land flowing with milk and honey. But the other 10, they just saw the giants. They came back and they said, can't do it. This is the thing with faith. When we trust the Lord Jesus, and we have faith in him, he will lead us. And there are times when it's scary. There are times when you will say no to something. And it goes against everything that your work colleagues are suggesting. You have to stand alone, and it's fighting. Well, Joshua and Caleb, they were able to say, listen, if God said we are to take it, we can take it. But as we know, the people of God rebelled, and they had to walk around the wilderness for another 40 years. Well, in Numbers 13, 17, we read of Joshua again, and we read how that Moses changes his name from Hoshea to Joshua. Moses, obviously, he sees in this man God has revealed him. Here is a man that has character. This is a man who is submissive to my word. God was preparing him. He was constantly seeking out, not necessarily Moses' presence, but he was seeking out the Lord's presence. He just wanted to be with the people of God. And he wanted to taste of who this God was. And one of the tragic things, I think, of today, when I was growing up, there were lots of elderly folk that they looked crippled by life. Life had not been pleasant to them. But there was something about them. There was a sense of the presence of God. This world hadn't taken over their life. They had remembered their Creator when they had come to know the Lord and given themselves to him. I remember one lady. She, Mrs. Irving, she lived down Hen Lane. And she had a hard life. When she used to go to church, her husband let her go to church. But he would curse and swear at her all the way. She'd walk all the way down Hen Lane, down towards Parkgate Road, into the church. And all the way to the church, he would be cursing and swearing at her. And yet this lady, who was in a difficult situation, you would never have thought there would have been a sunlight coming from her. You should have heard her pray. When she prayed in a prayer meeting, tasted in the presence of God. And there were a number of people like that. But we are more concerned now, often in a prayer meeting. People are more concerned about healing and the pleasantness of life and the things around us rather than the glory of God. We become so taken up with things of this world. But you see, Joshua, he sought out the presence of God. So when that day came for Joshua to lead God's people, he was no stranger to the Lord's presence. He didn't say, remember young Samuel, Young Samuel heard the voice of God and he went into Eli and said to Eli, Eli, did you call me? And Eli said, no. And three times he heard the voice of God and he went into Eli. And Eli hadn't realized until then, because he had forgotten the voice of God. But when Joshua heard the voice of God, he knew. He knew his presence. We read in Numbers 11:28 that Joshua was Moses' assistant. An amazing, rich training. One of the poignant things about Joshua's training was that it was on the job. So when Moses died, on so many levels, Joshua was ready to do it. One of the big things that you may see, I'm being chauvinistic now, but often when you get married these days, a lot of the ladies that get married don't have to cook. They've never been taught. They don't know how to boil an egg. I know in my home, we were all taught to cook. Which is parcel of it. You got married, you were able to cook. You were learning on the job, as it were. You all have to do the hoovering and the polishing and helping around the home. It's part of learning skills, isn't it? And you see, there's nothing worse. You're at university or you go to college. You could learn to be a plumber at college. You could learn to be an electrician. But then if you get a job and you've never done it, you've never used your hands to work things or do what you need to do. If you trained as a cook and it was just theoretical, when it came to baking bread, you wouldn't know how the dough felt. And you see, you speak to anybody who trains at anything, you learn so much, don't you, on the job. You're thrown in at the deep end. I remember my first 3 or 4 weeks as a sheet metal worker. I trained for 4 years and I had done some of the jobs, but now I was on my own. And you were on piecework. You only got paid for what you did. I was exhausted. I'd come home from work and I went to bed. I wasn't used to that kind of work. The stress of it all being down to you. Well, here was Joshua. He learned on the job, as it were, learning from Moses. Joshua was always in the thick of it. Another truth about Joshua is found in Exodus 33, verses 7 to 11. But before then, we're reminded, as I mentioned this morning, there in Ecclesiastes 12, we're to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near, when we say, I have no pleasure in them. Do you say that? Do you ever get up in the morning and you say, I haven't got the energy? It comes to us all. I sat on the side of the bed this morning, slapping, but is it Voltarol over my shoulders and my knees and my wrists? Because it's so painful to move sometimes. I phoned the doctor up this week and I said, can I have two injectors in my shoulders? He says, you've got to wait till July. And we all get to a stage where we have these aches and pains and illnesses and various things. It's just part of living in this world. But you see, Joshua had remembered his Creator, part of his life. So when he took hold of the mantle to go forward, he was ready. There in Exodus 33, we read that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend, speaking to God face to face. Then when Moses, the Bible tells us, returned to the camp to fulfill all his duties, while Joshua was young and he didn't have all the responsibilities that you have, the Bible tells us that he would stay in the tent of meeting, in the presence of the visible Lord. What amazing fellowship he must have had. But you see, one of the problems today, particularly today, we are surrounded by so much, aren't we? We have so much that's vying for our attention. Happy hours of television can suck the life out of us. It's like a succubus. There's an ancient creature that in Greek mythology that would send you into a sleep state, and you would be dreaming, but it would be sucking the life out of you. And in a sense, the world can be like that. You can be taken up with so much. You can be taken up with term time. You can be taken up with your next holiday. You can be taken up with your next hobby, with your next... Certain things can just take over your thinking. And your whole life is wasted. You men and women, we have a great opportunity to give of ourselves to God. To say, Lord, here I am, how would you use me? Here are my talents. Today is the day, the Bible tells us. We have to be ready today. And what's lovely, those of you who are older, is this. You may have wasted your life. And you may feel as if you wasted your life. But the fact that Joel the prophet says that God can restore the years the locusts have eaten. I remember reading an account of a man, I can't remember the name of the gentleman, it's a famous story. He heard the gospel message in his teenage years. And he went away from church life, and he gave himself to the world, etc. And I'm thinking about the age of 99. A verse that he had heard when he was a young man came to his mind. And he gave himself, the Lord began to work in him. And he knelt before God, and he confessed with his lips and believed in his heart that Christ was Lord. And for the last couple of years of his life, he was totally and utterly surrendered to the things of Christ. And they were the sweetest years he'd ever known. The wonder of the gospel in what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. We can know fellowship with Christ, just as Joshua knew fellowship. We can know the presence of God in our life, in our daily living. As we read his word, as we are guided by the Holy Spirit in our everyday living. You see, the problem is sometimes we make it that Sunday is all about the Lord. It's not, it's every day, isn't it? When we go to our beds at night, what does David say? He asks God to be with him through the night as he sleeps. He asks God to be with him in the day. As we read his word, and speak to him in prayer and see how he guides us. Oh, what wonderful fellowship we have with him. But Joshua's task, what was Joshua's task? What was it that he had to do? Joshua was given a job to do, and it was getting the people of God, the church, back into the promised land. You are to take the people of God across this little river, but it's a huge river where you think there are older folk from the people of Caleb and Joshua. There would have been older men and women, there would have been boys and girls, livestock, etc. Oh, we've got to get you across the river. Not only have we got to get you across the river, but there are battles to be fought. Yes, they had fought battles. But you see, with Israel, they didn't have military prowess. They didn't have great weapons. They didn't have great training. You see, they had a great God. That's how they survived in the wilderness. That's how they survived against the great kings. It's something for you to look up at. There's a king that Moses took the people of God against. And this king, he had a bed made of iron. I'll let someone, you can have a look for yourself in the scriptures. And this bed was 13 feet long. made of iron. And this king stood against the people of God. And he was nothing, because God was on their side. But you see, what we will learn as they go into the promised land, because of a lack of faith, they didn't have all the promised land that God had promised them. Abraham, God had promised Abraham this promised land. It's huge, from the Euphrates down to Egypt and across to the east. This huge landmass. And yet, they didn't take it all. And sadly, this is a little boy, little bit like ourselves, isn't it? We often lack faith. We don't trust God as we ought to trust. There in Hebrews chapter 11, we're reminded of what Abraham looked to. There in chapter 11 verse 8, it tells us this: by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. There was Abraham in his 70s. He set out with his wife and Lot and some of his family, and they go out to a promised land that God said, you will have this. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. This is what faith is. There are times when we don't have the answer. We want God, we know God's will, don't we? We all say it. So I don't care who we are. We'll often say, I want to know what God's will is for my life. Well, God's will for our life is to be obedient. God's will for our life is to allow the word of God to change us. That's what God's will is. He doesn't know where he's going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, what he was looking to was not necessarily, yes, he was looking to the promised land, but Abraham was looking to something more. He was looking to heaven. The time has come for Joshua, this picture of God's judgment. The time for Joshua to lead his people to that great future hope, the promised land. So Joshua, the Lord said, there in verse 9, be strong, of good courage. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As I said, the children of Israel only ever took possession of a portion of what was promised them. And that's the same with us, isn't it? We get on our knees at night or wherever we pray, and in the morning we get up and we ask the Lord to be with us, to guide us, that we would be all that we should be. And for most nights we'll come before the Lord and we're ashamed. We don't possess what God has called us to possess. Now I'm not preaching prosperity here, and I'm not saying that we're to go and name and claim things. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is knowing the richness of God's presence. You know, you husbands, how often do you say, I want to be a better husband. I want to be more tender. I want to love my wife more than I... And you love your wife. I want to give her more time. And the end of the day, the end of the week comes, and you look back and you haven't. You haven't given her the time. You haven't told her she's beautiful. You haven't made her feel that she's the most beautiful woman in the world to you. And women the same. Get so taken up with the children and with the busyness of life. And our husbands, maybe they don't feel like coming home, because all they're going to get is nagged at, moaned at. But you see, marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. And there should be this great desire to be with the loved one. There should be, if you're a Christian this morning, Your great desire should be that the one day the bridegroom will come. The one day all the hassle of grumbling people and moans, etc. will be gone, and we will be taken up with the loved one. He will come and take us to himself. And you see, we should be growing that relationship in our day-to-day walk. You see, Israel became satisfied with so little. So Joshua's task was to lead this ancient church across the Jordan to possess that small portion of land promised to Abraham. God knew that they wouldn't take it all. He knew how pathetic they were and how weak faith they were. And you see, as God looks at us, he didn't save us because we were amazing. He didn't seek Martin out and say, I'm going to save you because you're going to be the best Christian that ever lived. I don't know why he sought me out. Because I'm certainly not the best Christian that ever lived. As the Apostle Paul said, I am the chief of sinners. It's how you feel, isn't it? God took us and he said, I'm going to shape you into something beautiful. I'm going to shape you into something wonderful. There is going to come a day when we close our eyes in death. And as we open them in heaven, yes, we will behold the Son of God and we will worship him for all eternity. But we will look at ourselves and we will stand amazed in wonder what God has done. God has taken such a wretch and turned them into someone so wonderful and beautiful. But it's not about us, is it? It's about the Saviour. Joshua has a massive task in front of him, taking over the work of Moses. And I'll finish with this verse found in the previous book. It said, it already said how that there was not a leader in Israel like Moses. Never was there one. But we read in verse 5 of Deuteronomy 34 says this. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. It goes on then to say that the children of Israel wept for Moses. But now verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. So the children of Israel heeded him, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. You see, God's hand was upon Joshua. And as Joshua took these people into the promised land, nothing would stop them. And over the weeks, we'll look and see how God used this man of God to lead his people. Amen. Shall we just pray before we sing our last hymn? Father in heaven, we thank you that you take men and women, you take them, use them to be your witnesses. Lord, we thank you that you have taken us from the scrap heap of sin. You've taken us from that place where we have rebellion in our hearts. And you have renewed us. And you have made us into something wonderful and special. Lord, we thank you for all your work that you are doing within us. Lord, we pray that as we look around us, as we face our difficulties at work, as we face the issues at home, as we face the issues within the church, Lord, we pray that we would be a reflection of your glory. So Lord, we ask that you be with us, encourage us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close by singing, O thou who camest from above, pure, celestial, your far to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. heaven, we know that you will complete the work within us. Lord, we pray that we would be your faithful children. The Lord, that we would be submissive to your will. The Lord, that we would know your presence leading and guiding us. Lord, we pray that your word. There are times when we are not where we should be when it comes to your word. Lord, we pray that it would become alive to us. The Lord, that you would guide us in your footsteps. And Father, we would know that light leading us and guiding us. And as Joshua knew your presence, that Lord, we pray that we didn't get to that, but we're reminded there in Hebrews, that if we know that contentment in life, if we know that contentment in your will, you have said, as you said to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is my helper. Lord, we pray that we would know your help. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.